Good morning, everyone. My name is Todd Cochran, and you're watching or listening to Saturday Morning Tech. It is very early here in Honolulu. This is Saturday, the 18th of February. And, well, I tell you, I've got some local boys on the set today calling in via Skype. You know, you would think if we were local, we would just, you guys would come over to the studio, but it was enough asking you guys to get out of bed this early in the morning. Good morning, Peter. How are you this morning?
Good morning, my good friend, Todd. How are you?
I'm doing good. And for those of you that are checking us out, Peter is better known here in Hawaii. As I see if I can press the right button on the computer here. He's known for the yourcomputerminute.com and a bunch of other stuff. We hear you on traditional radio quite a bit, Peter, but you've also got an online thing going on too, right? What are you doing these days?
Well, you know, I call myself a serial tech entrepreneur, and that's basically what I've been doing since I was a kid, almost 30 years now in the industry, and have gone through a collection of tech startups, whether it's been, I created the first commercial website in Hawaii, which was Outrigger.com back in 1994. And that was actually midway through my career. I've developed some patented software for anti-spam. So I've done a collection of things and just been involved in the tech industry. And today we'll talk more about it. We're kind of have played past 5 or 6 years or so. I've gotten a lot involved into politics, which has been a great hobby of mine. And today we'll talk more about this. It was kind of what's going on in the tech scene and in the political area and stuff like that. So a longtime tech veteran, serial tech entrepreneur. That's what I do.
Very cool. And on the bottom Skype channel, we've got Derek Gabriel. Good morning, Derek. And
good morning.
You know, you're more into the startup scene. I know that you've got a business as well. It's and I was doing some research on you. Gabriel Phoenix Communications. That's a mouthful right there in itself. But why don't you introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about what you've got going on here in Hawaii?
Well, I moved to Hawaii about 11 years ago now, and I started a business probably about just over 5 years, which would be the Gabriel Phoenix Communications, which is a technology consulting and service provider for mostly small businesses. And as of lately, probably about middle of last year, I decided to get involved in the tech startup community here in Hawaii. And so we participated in Hawaii's first startup weekend event and founded a business that we're calling Ohana Mala. Cool. And working with the team on that. So it's been a lot of fun. We're finding that Hawaii's startup community is in its infancy. We've probably reached the stage of crawling and well on our way learning how to walk. So it's been very exciting.
You know, it's funny here. I've been in Hawaii now. So my daughter is, she'll be 16 this year. So I've been here 15 years. And as much as I, you know, as long as I've lived here, you know, my background is, prior military, I was retired, and then I've been working in the new media space since 2004. But as much as I love Hawaii, I do very little business here. You know, most of my business is with folks that are in the upper 48, or traditionally called lower 48, and or actually upper 49 if we want to include Alaska there. But so for me, this is going to be fun because I'm kind of catch me up on what's going on in Hawaii in the startup scene, and we're going to talk about stuff that's happening legislative here in Hawaii and also nationally. And this is why I wanted to have you guys on today. A couple of weeks ago, we had a little, basically I did a call action during my regular show that was that's produced every week, was talking about a house bill here that was basically proposing that they were going to basically track everything we did on the internet. And it was a bill that was a little more intrusive than even SOPA or PIPA, in that it was making ISPs locally basically track us and spy on us and be able to provide that information to law enforcement or whoever. And that was not well defined. Now, luckily that House bill and Senate bill version got kind of shelved, for a better word. Was that the camel that broke was that the paper clip that broke the camel's back, Peter, for launching what is now HIA, the Hawaii? Yeah, go ahead.
I think that one caught the most amount of public attention. Quickly, that bill required anyone who provided internet service to track the destinations and the activity of their customers, and not just to track it, but also to tie it to personal information, credit card information, billing information, et cetera. So that was the one that sort of, yeah, it did launch this whole thing and kind of created some kind of outrage in the community. We also had, there was about 30 other bills that got started. One was extremely constrictive to web developers, essentially setting a couple things, putting some things in law that if enacted would make pretty much what most web developers do illegal. Things like you'd have to have a legal approval for every image that you post, and if you, to the effect that if you would have to give back all information that you had, if you couldn't use any of the information you had gained through working with the customer, including email addresses and things like that, you had to. There's all kinds of crazy stuff, but essentially, it made what most web developers do illegal. So these things, you know, really woke me up, and clearly have woken up the community. And I think the big picture, there's a big picture here. It's not just, you know, this bill or SOPA or PIPA or, yeah, we dodged a bullet on that one. It's much, much bigger than that. There's what's going on right now, and it's very, very, very important that the tech industry understands what this really is. I've been in politics now for the past 5 or 6 years. I've run a couple of campaigns. I've studied a lot of policy from a ideologically. I'm what's called a classical liberal, which is essentially a libertarian. I'm a limited government, personal freedom, economic freedom kind of a guy. Things that our nation was founded on. And I think it's very, very, very important for the tech industry to understand, you know, what is going on. And what is going on is we are witnessing, this is going to sound a little dramatic, but it's true. We are witnessing the beginning of the end of what has made our industry great. We are witnessing the beginning of the end of innovation, witnessing the beginning of the end of an easy way to get involved into a business, to be innovative and to have the chance to succeed. The reason why I say this is because we've been very lucky with tech. Todd, you've been in tech since before 2004, but you've been doing your company since 2004. Okay, tech. Right. Let's go back. Let's say high tech. Let's say it launched in the mid 70s. Let's just take that as a starting point. There's been no industry. It's been something short of a phenomenon if you think about it. The tech industry, in terms of the way we've grown. The innovation that's occurred, the advances that have happened, the wealth that's created, the amount of the millions of people that have changed their lives, changed their careers. And this has occurred primarily because tech has been sort of one of these industries that is flown under the radar. We're flown under the radar of government regulation. We've existed, tech has existed uniquely, almost uniquely so, practically exclusively a free market economy. In other words, in tech, you could pretty much do whatever you want, whenever you want, and there's almost no government cost involved to get your thing started. For example, if you wanted to start a business in tech today, what would you have to do? You'd have to spend maybe $7 to get your domain name.
Yeah.
And maybe you need a laptop that you can buy for $500, and you need a net connection that you can get for $20 a month.
And some skills.
Yes, and some skills.
And motivation. The
some would argue you don't even need the skills. But, you know, even say you don't even, that's what's beautiful about the industry is that you actually don't need the skills. You need the motivation. You need the motivation and the desire, because all the education you want is where? It's online.
Right.
So literally for $1,000, no more than $1,000, somebody can literally start a tech business. And if they work really hard, and if they, you know, if they work super hard and they do the right thing and provide a product that customers want, they're in business. And we've seen enough of them over our lifetimes to know that businesses can have dramatic success. Billionaires have been launched without ever having any. Look, there's no certificates. You don't have to be certified in tech. You don't need to have a license in tech. You don't need to be. You don't even have to have a degree. I mean, ask Bill and Steve. They dropped out of college and became the wealthiest men on the planet. So we've been lucky with tech. We've been real lucky, and I don't think that the tech community really understands the fundamental nature of the enabling the fundamental enabling of tech's great success, and that has been a free market economy. Anybody, anywhere around the world can jump in and get involved in tech. And the we have right now is the what we're seeing, like with SOAP, and this is why I'm so thankful. First of all, I forgot to. I want to thank you, Todd, for having us on.
No.
I've known you for a long time too. I mean, you and I have been buddies forever, but I never came on your show before. So I want to thank you for the opportunity for the national audience.
Absolutely.
Because this is a national issue, and so look at what's going to go on now. You know, government never does things. There's no, especially in a republic democracy, there's no such thing as sort of an overnight revolution. Typically, that does not happen. Things happen small and slowly and incrementally. And that's why I say this is the beginning of the end, and the industry needs to know what this is. Unless we stop it, what's going to happen is our industry is going to go the same way with the financial industry, which is highly regulated and fractured and a mess. It's going to go the way of the medical healthcare industry, which is costly, filled with litigation, and it's a mess. And these things didn't happen overnight. These things happen very, very, very slowly. You know, one of my favorite examples of how these things occur slowly is taxes, for example, income taxes. Todd, you want to take a wild guess? Income taxes were enacted in, 1913. You want to take a wild guess, Todd, at what the top tax rate was in 1913? Just take a wild guess.
I think it was 3%. I remember.
7% was the top tax rate. Seven.
Okay. Seven was the top. Wouldn't that be beautiful?
Okay. 7%.
Right.
It was around in the 1930s, it had shot up to 80%. After World War II, 92%. But it started out as 3%. Okay. Social Security, federal payroll taxes. Payroll taxes were 3%, 3%, and today it's 12%. These things don't happen overnight. They start small. It's like, oh yeah, you know, we're just gonna. It's just, you know, 3%, 7%. It's no big deal. No, it's not. You know, and then once the camel's nose gets under the tent, these things increase slowly but surely and slowly but surely.
I think the thing that concerns me is that, you know, not only are they starting to nudge into adding rules and regulations and different things that they're adding and monitoring and all these other types of events, much of it is being driven by, well, two factors. Big business that is worried about the tech industry coming in and disrupting their long-term standing business plans, and legislatures that, quite frankly, don't have a clue. That are largely non-tech savvy, have non-tech savvy people that are basically consulting with them. You know, it just goes on and on. And so that combination makes, and it being that the big business has been in these politicians' pockets for years, is you end up having this big business driving the legislation from a legislature that doesn't have a clue. And what it ends up with is the rest of us are sitting back here kind of on our heels, pounding out code on our keyboards. And the next thing they know, they're going to legislate us to death. I think that's a big part of why we're starting to see some of these issues. It's, you know, why we are seeing these issues, especially on a national level.
That's exactly right. That's precisely correct. And what you basically have, and this is the... You know, this is the ultimate essence of the fundamental essence of government corruption, if you will. You have a large business community which has lived under some degree of government protection or some degree of government legislation. For example, the entertainment industry. There's a lot of things that go on that enable or protect or regulate the entertainment industry. Now it sees sort of the encroachment of internet stuff. It doesn't want to see what it sees. It's eventually, you know, in some way or shape or form, it sees its demise. At least as it has currently existed, it's not going to. All us geeks know that the entertainment industry is just going to transform into something new. But they don't want transformation. They want status quo.
Right.
So this is why you have SOPA and PIPA, who gets sponsored for and paid for by large organizations that have influence in the legislature, who, you know, the funny part is, Todd, you're correct that the industry is clueless as to tech. But you know what? They're clueless on the healthcare. They're clueless about financial. They're clueless about everything. I mean, no one person knows what they need to know about doing these things. But at the end of the day, what you have is a fundamental corruption of the process and a corruption of the industry itself. And, you know, the part that's so interesting about this is that we're seeing this. I mean, we are witnessing the birth of this, and that's why the industry must come together, and the industry has to organize itself very, very quickly. Essentially, you know, this has been my message here locally, but I think there's a national message too. And I think I'm going to create a National Innovation Alliance Facebook page, and we'll link it off of your show. Let's see where this thing goes nationally.
I want to bring Derek in here for a second. Yep. Now, Derek, you know, you're a brand new, you know, you've had a business for a while, but you've also started a new startup. I'm going to guess that during that startup weekend and during the time that you guys have gotten going, probably registering your business and all that stuff was relatively painless, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So, you know, that's one thing that at least they make it easy to get started. But, you know, the ongoing paperwork and everything else that the state of Hawaii puts upon you after that is a different story. But, you know, what's your guys' experience been from a startup? You know, would you say you've had the freedom to just go ahead and be innovative and create and not have to worry about government regulation to this point?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, it's been wonderful. I mean, from a state standpoint, the very minimum you need to do if you're going to sell something is register, you know, with the Department of Commerce and Consumer Affairs. And of course, you'll want to register a trade name to protect your identity. And so that's like, you know, $30, $40 each, you know, domain names and stuff and whatnot. But other than that, there's no special licensing or requirements that you have to fulfill. So it is relatively expensive. And you know, if you're not actually physically selling anything, you don't even really need to register with the state. You're not going to be collecting taxes or anything like that. So you can literally just, you know, get a hosting account somewhere. I know you've got a special on GoDaddy, so I can get one of those accounts and register up a domain and be off and running. So it's great.
So would you say, though, that when you got started, would you say that how did you become aware of the Hawaii Innovation Alliance? Did you become aware because of what was happening currently in the ledge, or was it word of mouth, or, you know, what was your concern and what drove you to get involved in this new group, the HIA?
Well, it was the same thing that, you know, led Peter down that road. I had heard about the law that they were trying to pass that required the ISPs to keep history. And, you know, I immediately pretty much knew that that wouldn't get, you know, wasn't going to go anywhere just because of the logistical issue that would create. I mean, it's just a horrible nightmare and probably unconstitutional, violating, you know, search and seizure and whatnot. But, you know, the thing for me is, I deal a little bit with the neighborhood board in Kaneohe, and I've tried to keep my eye on politics. Obviously, doing some of the things in startup and business, you want to know what's going on in your environment. So I'm heavily involved with social media out here in Hawaii also. I'm a board member of the Social Media Club of Hawaii. And so what happened is I was kind of, you know, listening to some of the things that were going, hearing new bills that were coming up, and then finally Peter Kay and another gentleman, Bert Lum, had put together a sort of meetup at one of the co-working spaces here in Honolulu at the greenhouse. And so it seemed that it was really important at this point where we are kind of in history and where I envision and where a lot of community members that I've been speaking with see technology going in Hawaii is that we really do need to kind of organize and kind of come together. We have a lot of separate groups that all work with a little bit of overlap. And I felt that, you know, I wanted to go see what they had to talk about and see what would come out of it. And that's kind of where this crazy 2-hour conversation that we all had turned into rah, 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 let's do something. And instead of just, you know, walking away at the end at a lot of, you know, events, we decided that we would actually, you know, get real serious about this alliance and start working it. So that's kind of where things have gone in the last few weeks.
You know, I sent immediately on several of those bills, I sent emails to my specific house rep, and the response I got back was, how should I say, less than encouraging. And, you know, at least here in Hawaii, I think we're a little, you know, it's a little different state than other states in the nation in that we do have more of a local feel, and usually our reps are a little bit more personable and willing to respond and talk and sometimes have a dialogue. The politics is all still there per se, but I think at least you can reach them. But so, but this response I got back from my local rep was more, it felt like a canned message coming out of a national, out of Washington, D.C. And it kind of set me off a little bit thinking they're really not listening. You know, they have an agenda. They're really not listening. And, you know, I basically said, hey, I'm going to talk about this specifically on my show and call this out and basically raise awareness. And I, but, you know, for me, I was, and Peter, this is the trouble I had was, you know, my audience is a national audience. And so I had to relate it to my audience as, okay, we need to be aware in our communities of the different legislation that's going on. You need to pay attention to the dockets and the bills that are being introduced, because if you don't, they're going to sneak one underneath the radar on you in the middle of the night, as they often do. And you know, as I think Hawaii kind of got it slapped in the face real quick, and we all, and I'm glad you guys have started Hawaii Innovation Alliance, because I think we all were kind of just all sitting back and thinking, what do we do? What do we do? And, you know, from my perspective, it was, you know, I can email someone and I can call someone, but I'm just one person. I think it's great that you guys have started this to try to have a more of a, you know, a concentrated effort by local people to, you know, really watch what the ledge is going on. And I guess if we need to be able to show presence and force and also the buying power that our companies bring to task, because, you know, I pay taxes in this state, a considerable amount of taxes in this state. And my business, you know, pays a considerable amount of taxes in this state. So I think that from a business perspective, we have to, you know, I guess for a better word, show our strong arms a little bit and, you know, and tell them what we think. And if nothing else, then support candidates that are listening to us and will help our agenda. We lost both of them. What happened? Did the connection, did I lose the internet connection? I think so. Well, we'll see if they come, they'll be back in a second. That was really weird. They both got bounced at the very same time. So that must have been a Skype thing. See if they're, yeah, Skype's still online. So guys, dial back in. We're just getting going here. Good too. So we'll give them a few seconds to dial back in. So what I'll do is while we're trying to get them back on the hook here, I'll bring this up. There's been a page that has been put together, and it's an open group. And currently, I think it's mostly local people. Obviously, it's called the Hawaii Innovation Alliance. And yeah, I'm looking at the connection. Everything is solid green, so I don't know what happened. Did Skype just... Oh, there Peter comes.
Here we go.
That was weird. I lost both of you at the same exact time. You both bounced.
See, it's because we have the government tapping into our lines.
It could be true. They could be watching and say, oh, this we got to stop this conversation.
Teach you guys a lesson.
So I don't know where you lost me here, but, you know, I think.
No, I caught you. I think, look, here. Look, I think there was, if I look at the experience of what happened in HIA, we were lucky because we saw a bunch of things happening that were dangerous to the industry, threatening the industry, and then we were able to quickly organize, not just into, as Derek said, you know, and not just into a sort of a typical rah-rah event where everyone gets together and then walks away and goes home, but we actually took the next step and we created an organization, and we're working on our way now to actually formalizing that organization to become a 501c6 or some sort of a chamber of commerce or something like that. We haven't decided what. I think about what happened nationally, and it was a lost opportunity. I mean, look, the practically every person on earth knew about SOPA and PIPA because you had, you know, Wikipedia shutting itself down. You had the black ban on Google. You had all this, you know, national uproar. And what happened? Nothing. Nothing happened. I mean, we did it. We protested. The bill kind of got quieted down. But nothing happened as a result of that. It was a huge lost opportunity. What the tech industry needs to do here, let's contrast this, Todd. Let's contrast this to instead of in addition to the black bans and the Wikipedia going down, et cetera, what if we organized ourselves at that moment on a national level to, let's call it the National Innovation Alliance? And what if what we did is we identified some key geeks nationally who live in Texas, who would run for office against the congressman that introduced that bill.
Right.
And we all supported them and gave this guy a couple of million dollars in his campaign and set him up to run for Congress this session. I'll tell you what would happen if we did that. We would never have bills that would strike down the industry again, because it would send a very, very, very message to the legislature, to Congress, that we need to be very clear on. Don't mess with tech. You mess with tech, we're going to get involved, and you don't want that. But I mean, that's what we really have to do. But instead, we did nothing. We just kind of protested. We wore our black bands, and the thing kind of somewhat subsided, and we all went back to our homes. This thing's going to happen again. This is just the beginning. This is just the beginning of, and as, think about it, as issues of free speech, as issues of, as the, watch what's going to happen when the, as the internet further, you know, gets itself involved in political campaigns and costs races, when online and social media things get involved in such a way where they'll cost a candidate to lose a race or to gain or to win a race, this becomes more and more of a factor. This is the beginning of government regulation of the internet. You know, as Gabriel mentioned earlier, it just takes a few bucks, and we've all been spoiled with this. I mean, we just think it's natural, right? We don't even... Here, Todd, let me ask you something.
Sure.
When you started Geek News Central, when you started your podcast, did you even think about having to get licenses? Did you even think about having to go to the FCC and having to get FCC approval and having to get approval for your equipment and to have safety equipment and have the inspectors review your studios and make sure everything? Did you even think about that?
No, I didn't even consider it. I did have enough common sense to incorporate. I did have enough common sense to register the business name and get a GET license, which turns out, well, that's a whole different story. But long story short, that was basically it. And I was up and running really in a matter of days. But compared to, I know, like when my father had a construction business, oh my God, the amount of red tape and things they had to go through and OSHA. And, you know, believe it or not, Peter, I have to pay myself workman's comp to sit in this chair. I write the state of Hawaii every month or whatever. Whenever I write myself a paycheck, a little bit comes out for workman's comp because I sit in this chair. So I guess they're worried about me falling out of this chair and hurting myself. But that's kind of the extent of the overreach. But I think you're right from a national perspective and a local perspective in that, you know, nothing more sends a message than, you know, a candidate that's running against someone else for, you know, basically having been irresponsible in introducing legislation, and you punish them that way, and that wakes people up. But at the same time, what we have currently, and a big part of the issue in Congress is that you have big organizations that have multi-millions and billions of dollars worth of revenue writing the legislation. And you have tech companies, and finally, at least Google and some of the other companies have started to hire lobbyists. Unfortunately, you got to fight fire with fire. This, you know, this system does not work without, you know, having a viable presence and a viable activity level, I guess, for a better say, in these legislatures. And it's, you know, up to this point, we've all as tech companies really, you know, I don't like talk. It's tech. I don't like talking politics. It sucks. You know, it's something that, you know, it's just like when you go to, what are the three things you don't talk about? You don't talk about politics. You don't talk about religion. You know, and there's a variety of topics that are generally taboo when it comes to business, but sadly, we're going to have to become a little bit more political.
Yeah, I mean, it's sad. I mean, and this is the essence of this is the essence of the whole thing. We should not have to worry about that. We should just be essentially left alone to create and to innovate and to do what we do. But that genie is out of the bottle.
That's true.
And so we have a decision to make. And this is why, again, I really kind of want to put out an important clarion call for your listeners and for the tech industry overall. We have to get organized. We have to, for example, not only do we need to have a candidate run against the congressman in Texas who introduced this bill, but we need to have a super PAC. We need to have, tech industry is no longer a backwater thing. We've got juice. There's Google. There's Facebook. There's billions of dollars out there. There's a lot of billionaires who in tech who will support tech. So, if we had, for example, if we formed a super PAC that had, let's say $100 million in it, and we use that money to campaign against congresspeople that were hostile to tech, and we use that to campaign in favor of congresspeople who were in favor of tech, or as I was telling my, when we had our HIA meeting, I said, look, if the tech industry, one of the aspects that we must embark on is for folks who care about tech to make sure they volunteer in political campaigns. There's no better way to get access to lawmakers than to be on their political campaign. And God knows they need help with their websites. So if we all got involved, so think about it. If we had tech people, let's say we form a National Innovation Alliance, and I should create this Facebook. I'm going to create this Facebook page before the show's over. We create a National Innovation Alliance, and members of that alliance are staunchly devoted to defending the freedom and the freedom and innovation of the tech industry. And these and our members go out and they participate in political campaigns. We have thousands, hundreds of thousands of members across the country, and they're all involved with political campaigns. We have essentially a connection, a very, very strong connection that is stronger and deeper than most. Things get done that way. So the moral of the story is tech needs to get smart. You know, it's kind of funny. You talk about the workman's comp thing that you have to get. Imagine this, Todd. Imagine what would happen to, let's say, the cost of Windows. If there was such regulation and litigation in the tech industry such that you could sue Microsoft for every time your computer, every time your computer rebooted incorrectly and you lost productivity, and you could sue Microsoft. Or right now when we lost Skype, what if there was precedent established that allowed you to sue Skype for productivity lost? What do you think would happen to the cost of Skype? What do you think would happen to the cost of Windows? Think about that.
It's pretty scary to think about that. And I look at my own business this morning. My programmer who is in Ohio for our family of websites that we run at Raw Voice, he is got a family thing and not available. And we have a little tech issue that's come up this morning. I've gotten two or three texts from people. It's not a big issue. It's a little of annoyance type of thing. But some person could take that the wrong way and they could say, hey, you haven't updated a listing of mine, thus resulting in less exposure for me, thus I'm not getting as many audience members watching. Thus, my sponsor's not getting as much exposure. Now you're going to have to compensate me, or I'm going to take you to court. That would be pretty scary.
You might think, that's never going to happen. Ho 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 ho. Doctors today have to buy insurance, liability insurance. I forgot what it's called. Costing over $100,000 a month for doctors. And why do they have to do this? Well, primarily because their industry is so fraught with litigation, and you could sue a doctor for practically anything. So don't think that it can't come to tech. Here, let me give you another example. What do you think would happen to the pace of innovation of, let's say if Google had to go out and get FDA approval every time they wanted to change the way their search engine worked? Because, there's a legitimate concern because Google is so central to the country, and if they change their search results, it affects millions of Americans, and therefore we have to regulate how Google does their search results. And so every time Google is going to change their algorithm, it has to get FDA approval for it.
It's crazy.
That costs hundreds. Think about that.
As crazy as it sounds, there wasn't regulation on stuff before, and then all of a sudden the government added regulation. So while we may not be at that point now, the key is to prevent it so it doesn't happen. So do you think that we have the potential to go down this road? Do you think there's a potential for, you know, them, you're getting ready to introduce a brand new product on the market and they are going to require you to get approval on this and make sure that, you know, maybe it meets all federal guidelines?
Yeah, you know, it could happen. The thing is with business, right, you start doing something amazing and you start making money and people start asking questions. And then, of course, the competition that didn't have the idea wants to know, you know, why they didn't and what can they do to protect what they've got going. And so, you know, the traditional way is to go into legislation and put up some roadblocks to protect the old industry. And it's, I don't know. I'm not as scared, I think, as Peter is on some of the issues, but I really do feel that the one thing the tech community has done very, very poorly anywhere in the world is unifying. I mean, you know, the industry itself, regardless of whether or not legislation is coming down the road that's going to hurt us anymore, it has its own serious flaws. I mean, the one thing we've done good in the United States, other than just some of our peer innovation, is our race to the bottom with outsourcing. You know, in fact, I had a client the other day I was talking to, and you know, it's funny that there's technicians and whatnot that work in certain industries that used to specialize in fixing things. It's a lot like, you know, what you see in the automotive industry and whatnot. But because of outsourcing and whatnot, no one specializes in anything amazing anymore. And so you've got just this serious issue with a whole bunch of generalists. And I feel that, you know, that because of there's no unification in the industry, and we're always looking for the lowest price, the lowest whatever, we failed to realize what we can accomplish working together. And so that's where I see this legislation is creeping in on us, is because as a whole, you know, as Peter's pointed out, we're not organized in any way. And you know, we're just a bunch of little dominoes ready to fall over.
Yeah, I guess I get concerned. You know, I watch legislation that has to deal with, because I work with content creators. I work with well over 10,000 content creators. And having been prior military, freedom of speech is a big thing for me. And the freedom to, you know, obviously freedom of speech comes with a price if you say the wrong thing, you know. And again, you have to understand that you can say anything you want. You just may end up in court for something you said. But as long as you're willing to take that risk, you're okay. But generally, from a content creator like myself, you know, we have certain rules that will help us in protecting us when it comes to, you know, stating our opinion and sometimes bashing companies. And, you know, companies don't like that when you do that. But as, you know, as long as we remain and have these protections, we're okay. But I see all the time that being tested, and they're starting to test it with bloggers, and they're going after bloggers initially. And some of them are saying they don't have the same rights as journalists and a variety of different other rules. And it's that death by a thousand cuts is what's really happening here, is they're going to get us one thing at a time. And Peter, you're right. As far as SOPA and PIPA goes, that was just round one of a 12-round boxing match. And the multinational companies that haven't even really got warmed up yet, they're going to come back at this with a different angle, a different tactic, more money, more crying about lost revenue and whatever else, what other complaints they want to make to try to stifle innovation. So I think your idea of starting a national innovation alliance is just as important. Hopefully there'll be folks across the country that will start innovation alliances that are in each state. Now the question is, What has Hawaii done, and what has been set up so far? Are we starting to put charter stuff together? Is it even at that point, or is this so new that that's still a work in progress?
We have started, as Derek had mentioned earlier, we have started an organizational team. We have essentially an interim board of directors. We have an interim executive director. The group has started to put together a charter. Each of the each of the board of each of the board members have taken responsibility for individual areas. We have Tara Kumans, for example, and Derek, who are chairs and co-chairs of the communications side. We have Jared Kuroiva, who's running, and Dan Luke, who are running the bill tracking side. We have Norman Cowie, who's running the political side. And so we have started, and we're going to have another event on next week on the 25th, in fact, over here. We're going to have an unconference on the 25th where we're looking to present sort of a draft charter. And there are discussions. We have Ryan Hugh, who is an attorney, and he is helping us make some decisions of how we should get organized. So we're in the early stages. We haven't established a formal position of things yet. We have a statement of what we do, and that's on the Facebook page. And by the way, I did it. So we have the National Innovation Alliance right here, breaking news,
breaking news
right now on Geek News Central. We have the National Innovation Alliance, and I've invited Todd to it, and I've invited Derek to it, and I posted the link on the chat line, and Big Blue Man says, "Can a non-Hawaiian join?" Big Blue Man, you don't need to be. You can, yeah. There you go, right there, baby. The good old American flag. You can join right now. Join the national one right now. So we're up right here on Geek News Central, which is totally awesome. Link right there. So, you know, here's the thing. You know, I kind of want to. This is an important point, and Derek, I'm so glad you said what you said. And Derek is an awesome team member. Derek was the guy who took notes at the event, and he was the one. Derek, without you, we would have organized into the groups because he took notes. And I think something you said is very, very important, and it needs to be repeated. Derek, what you said is, "Oh, I'm not worried about it. I'm not as concerned as Peter is," and that is exactly the issue. It's because people don't see a threat. Say, "Well, nah, it's not a big deal. Look, what's a little help? It's not going to be a big." This is what occurs, you know, and this is what brings us. And again, I qualified my comments as potentially explosive or somewhat dramatic, but this is the road to serfdom. It starts with a 3% payroll tax. It starts with a 7% payroll tax. It starts with, you know, healthcare was supposed to cost the healthcare mandate when Lyndon Johnson enacted healthcare, Medicare and Medicaid. It was only going to be $1 billion. That was it. That was $1 billion. Come on, we could afford that. Today, it's bankrupting our nation. So we're seeing the beginning. It's small little steps, but once it begins, I mean, this is what's really, really sad. I mean, we're witnessing the beginning of further corruption of our own government in the most bizarre, twisted thing. Look, Todd, you mentioned it earlier. Tech is going to have to grow up. We're going to have to get lobbyists. We're going to have to play the game. You got to fight fire with fire, right?
Right.
Look at what this is doing. Think about this. So now we're going to have we have this National Innovation Alliance. God willing, it'll grow and explode and be fantastic. Okay. We have the National Innovation Alliance. And what we're going to have to do is we're going to have to organize. We're going to have to form a super PAC. And the super PAC is going to do what? It's going to influence elections. We're going to have to get lobbyists. And we're going to have to go to the Capitol. And we're going to have to fight for our industry. This is the very, very, very thing that everybody's all pissed off about, right? Isn't everybody pissed off about, right?
You're thinking to yourself, "Oh my God, we got to become what we hate.
We got to become what we hate."
Yeah, you do.
And here's what's so twit. But this is such a lesson. I mean, I hope we can capture this moment and see this as the great lesson of what this is really all about. Why are we even doing this, Todd? Why are we even having this conversation today? Why are we even on your show today? We're having this because government regulation started the process. Government got involved in our industry. Government started to try to tell us what to do, and now we have to fight back. We have to counter that influence with essentially a corruptive power. And, you know, typically what ends up happening is with all industries, they don't just fight to be the part where I want us to be different is most industries don't just fight to be left alone. No. Once you're in there, well, think about it. Once you're in there, once you've established your power base, once you've established funding and lobbying and political strength, are you just going to fight to be left alone? No, let's fight for some government protection of our industry. Let's fight for, example, raising tariffs so that global companies that compete with us are going to have a harder time competing with us. Why don't we push, for example, for immigration? Let's keep the immigration walls high so that we don't import talent that competes with us. Those geeks are getting in our way. Why don't we pass some legislation to make it harder and more difficult to develop digital content so that our movie industry and our music industry is protected? This is the beginning. And so what I would ask that I would advocate is that the National Innovation Alliance takes a little bit of a different path. And our path is keep government out of our industry. Let's not go for that corruptive force. Let's keep it out. Let's innovate. Let's continue. We've got a good thing going. It should cost, it's $7 and it's $7 to start a business online. I mean, that's an amazing thing. I mean, you can't think about it, Todd. I certainly you can't do this in Hawaii, but I doubt there's any place in the nation of any significantly sized city where you can start a hot dog stand for less than it costs to start a tech business.
It's true.
That is an incredibly precious, precious gift that we have. We can start a tech industry for less than a cost. I guarantee you there's far more regulation if you start a hot dog stand. You got to get a Department of Health certificate. You have to have a clean kitchen that you have to be able to demonstrate. You have to have a health certificate. You have to go get certified. You have to get licensed. You don't need any of that to start a tech business.
Go ahead.
No.
You know, the thing is also interesting is that, I look at what I did. I started a business with, I started my personal business, I did my show and I got a business license because I had sponsors, I had income coming in. I set up a corporate bank account where I had, where I could write checks. And, I think, because I'm a digital company, I think I wrote a total of like 200 checks in the last 7 years because I do everything digitally. So, and then when I started when I proposed the idea for Raw Voice, I was really struggling to find the right type of people. And so I basically found the people through my audience and started Raw Voice, and I started the company virtually. So here I am. I've got this is a prime example of how easy it is to start a tech business. I had a guy that was in New York, a programmer was in Ohio, lawyer that was in Michigan, the graphics guy was in Colorado. And we started a business literally by not even seeing each other. We had talked, and of course we went through the full process of, setting up a business and the ideas, and we just kind of went for it. And really for like the first 3 to 6 months, we were going by the seat of our pants in a normal startup style, right? And funding it really with, a credit card, using our credit cards to start that business. And you can't do that with a hot dog stand. You have to have employees, a truck, a vehicle, like you said. But at the same point, going back to being politically involved, and I talk to my audience on my show about these topics that you need to get on the phone. You need to call your congressman and give them your opinion on this particular type of topic. There's something that comes up every couple of months. And one of my sponsors was initially on the list to support SOPA. And I took a lot of heat, and they took a lot of heat for being a SOPA sponsor. And, I picked up the phone and I had called the CEO of GoDaddy, and I had said, "Hey, what are you guys doing? Do you guys really understand what's going on here?" And shortly thereafter, they reversed positions, and now they're on our side. But the damage was done. They really weren't paying attention to the ball. So even companies can get led astray on where they need to be supporting. And I think it's good that we, as a group, educate one another, and that way that we're all understanding what we're signing up for and what we're supporting. If we're going to support a piece of legislation that's going through, you go back to talking about the audiences and what I was telling my audiences, even though this list of companies was saying that they supported that piece of legislation, ultimately what would have happened if that would have gotten passed? It didn't matter that those 200 companies are ones that were supporting it. If the legislation had gotten passed, every company would have been affected and would have had to have comply with requests and orders that that legislation would have affected. So it didn't matter that, you know, this happened this past week. A site got took offline. The feds took the site offline probably wrongly. They're overreaching their bounds and removing .coms. Imagine this. Would the feds come in and seize a hot dog stand without a warrant? Probably not. But the feds today can seize .coms without a warrant. They can just say, oh, we think they're doing something wrong. I want to take control of this website. There's no due process for websites. And it's a very scary time having a .com. All it takes is them to think that you're doing something. And let's say they may or may not be. That's not the point. But tech guys are not even getting their day in court before their businesses are seized. And that's got to be scary. You know, it was Jotform. Jotform had their site taken down. They had millions of companies using their website. And one person, one bad apple, was using it for something they shouldn't. And Secret Service had the site pulled down without any due process. What is wrong with that picture? How can we live in a nation that your business can be seized without at least having your day in court? I don't get it. I really don't. And if nothing else, that should be a wake-up call for tech companies to say, we got to get organized. We have to start speaking out. We have to demand our basic rights. At least have our basic rights underneath the law. It's like the Wild Wild West when it comes to .com seizures.
Here, look, you talk about seize without due process. I beg to differ. Look, in California, there's cases where you've had a completely different industry altogether, the food industry, where you have farmers who are producing, now you get this one, you're going to love this. Farmers are producing raw milk. Raw milk meaning it's milk from the cow and it goes straight from the cow, maybe through a filter, into a bottle and into the fridge, and they sell the milk. It's in other words, it's not pasteurized, right, it's not homogenized. Right. It's sort of, it's, you know, straight out of the cow into the...
And I've drank straight out of a bulk tank before it's been pasteurized.
Okay. Well, and that's how we used to do it in the past.
That's how we used to do it, right?
Right.
Okay. These people are not only are their farms getting raided without warrants, without due process, okay? They're being raided and confiscated, and their facilities are being destroyed without due process. Okay, so this is, you know, the one of these things can happen to me. Sorry, Charlie, there is plenty of examples of regulation and virtually every industry, and that's the thing. You know, tech is precious. We've been living under free market economics, under complete, you know, something short of you mentioned it earlier, the Wild Wild West. Yes, it is the Wild Wild West. We are free. We can do whatever we wish. We can't start on video. Oh hi.
Okay.
Hi, you're on video. Oh, I have some relatives just come on in on the show there. Hey, yeah, that's
it's
right.
Okay.
Hello. Hello.
Say hello to the auntie. Isn't that great? Or the wife.
Live in Hawaii, have my, you know, have my cousin walk up and give me a kiss in the shoulder. Isn't that great?
It's Hawaii, you know, it's okay.
It's Hawaii, it's good. Great. I'm so lucky. So
you know, I just want to clarify my comment earlier, because it made me sound like I didn't care, and that's definitely not the case. But I think, obviously, I'm not the alarmist in the group. We'll leave that to Peter Kay. But what I want to say is that, and why I say I'm not as worried per se, is because every year there are tons of bills that are outrageously dumb that come up in front of Congress, locally, nationally, and they never see the light of day. And what I don't want is I don't want to scare people into thinking that, or I don't want the tech industry to become deers in headlights because we're so fearful of legislation that we stop doing what we do and we put all this energy into, you know, having to worry about building lobbyists and whatnot.
Right.
So, you know, I don't see, obviously there's certain issues that do come up, and there are, I would love to see us as, you know, more organized in the long run, but do we need unions and do we need lobbyists and do we need to start authoring bills? No, I think we need more educational components. I mean, it's kind of mysterious magic what happens inside the computer that comes out on the other end of the internet that people use, you know, Facebook, Twitter, Google, whatever. And the tech industry has been horrible about educating the common community and, you know, people like our legislators on what it is that happens and what it is that we do. So I think one of the things that the Hawaii Innovation Alliance has said in our charter is that we want to work more with legislator and more with the government in an educational component. And so I think that could have a bigger effect than
too.
Necessarily freaking out about bills all the time or, you know, fighting, you know, down the road. But
I think nothing else too is basically educating them, because, you know, they, a lot of these, I swear, they don't know which way is up. I mean, they know how to click a mouse and that's about it. But, you know, another thing that's really important about a free market society is shows like mine can have sponsors. So I want to take just a second here and thank my sponsor, Audible. Either you guys Audible, have you either you guys used Audible in the past?
I have briefly.
It's you know, it's for busy guys on the go, this is a great product, and you ought to check it out, because, you know, really what happens is we spend a lot of, especially here in Hawaii, we spend a lot of times in our vehicles, and always like feeding my brain with good information. And I laugh because, you know, I know, Peter, you're going to be on a radio show here next week, a local radio station. I laugh because I don't think I've listened to, from time to time I listen to talk radio or something, but I don't very often, but I spend that time listening to educational books or the latest thinkers, listen to podcasts and so forth. And that's why I really love Audible. And I'm sure those of you that are out there would just give it a try. You can get a free 14-day trial on me. And all you really have to do is go over to audiblepodcast.com/morningtech. They get you a 14-day free trial, and they have over 85,000 titles and in virtually every genre, and you'll find really what you're looking for. And you can use it with your iPad, your iPhone, your web, with just a web browser, almost any device that's out there you can use this product with. And with their basic plan, you get one free book a month. And I find with the way I'm in traffic and something like that, listen to different content, it's really kind of about what I can handle listening to each month is about one book a month audibly. And again, a great product. So definitely check it out, audiblepodcast.com/morningtech. And that pays the bills and allows me to hopefully at some point, if we need to start writing, getting our checkbooks out and writing checks to, you know, do some of this stuff we're going to need for these innovation alliances, is to be able to write a check and support that. You know, that's probably the next question for you guys on HIA. Are we looking at this, making this completely, something's going to have to feed this machine financially at some point, right?
Yeah, we're, I think what, to Derek's point, we're going to be doing sort of all of the above. I lost my audio over here?
No, you're good. You're okay. Fine.
You know, we're going to have to basically, we are going to be we are planning on being a legitimate legal organization, probably, we haven't decided yet, but a 501c6, which is like a chamber of commerce. And I think to Derek's point is you do have to cover all your bases. We are going to be covering education. You have to track bills because you have to watch what's going on.
Right.
You have to be proactive in terms of getting ahead of the next legislative session. You do have to educate, and I would maintain that you do have to have a political influence as well. You do have to be involved in elections. You do have to support candidates that support your perspectives and get rid of candidates who don't. But yes, we are planning on being a real organization that does fundraise, that does, like a Chamber of Commerce, has dues. All those details, of course, have to be worked out, but we are planning on making it real. Again, because if you don't make it real, you're just going to have a rah-rah and everyone will have a nice fun time and we'll have a good coffee and then we're all going to go home. And that's not what we want to do.
Yeah. And so often that's what has happened. You know, I belonged, we had an organization we started for the new media side. And, you know, the challenge that we had with that was there was very few chiefs and not enough Indians, you know, and it takes the community as a whole. Everyone's going to have to participate in some way. This is the only way, because otherwise you're going to end up with four or five people that are going to do the blunt amount of work, and then they are going to get, you know, there'll be a certain burnout stage. But I think this is something that's good. We're just going to have to, all of us are going to have to dedicate some resources and time to. I'm the biggest offender. You know, oftentimes I, you know, I'm in the mainland working stuff, and I lose track of what's happening here in Hawaii. I laugh because I see Ryan will post something on Twitter or Facebook. I'm like, I didn't know that was happening, even locally, because I'm, you know, I've been in the mainland or something. So maybe too, as a group, we can keep each other abreast of stuff that's happening locally, and that way it'll keep the involvement level higher. And then on a national basis, and then that's going to be that's a whole different challenge of herding sheep there. That one is that's a big one, and that's a hopefully there can be some cross duplication of work, and more people can come in and throw some resources at it.
Well, I think basically what we'd want to do is, again, you know, kind of take it in the classic American tradition and have a decentralized. And, you know, if you think about this, we kind of bring tech and geekness all together at the same time. I want to see a national organization that is formed essentially of state organizations or county organizations. I want to see the Illinois Innovation Alliance and the Chicago Innovation Alliance and the Springfield, Illinois Innovation Alliance, and have a decentralized network. Let's take some tips from tech, and let's have a decentralized, crowdsourced, open sourced network that is executing according to some very, very simple common principles. And the you know, the simple common principle is, you know, personal safety laws aside, and property rights laws aside, and theft and dangerous laws aside, let's keep tech free. Let's keep tech free and open and innovative. It's pretty simple. We don't need to get involved, heavily involved. We are going to have to lobby. We are going to have to legislate. It's just the reality of it. We have to grow up. But keep it simple, keep it free, and keep it open. If we do that, we'll continue to be, you know, if you think about it, tech has been an unbelievably innovative, not just innovative. I mean, many people will argue that a huge part of, in the last 20 years, a huge part of the economic growth in our was because of it increased productivity. The increased productivity was due to the increased efficiency, which came through tech. So tech has been massive. We're big boys now. We need to grow up, and we need to recognize that there are other industries that don't like what we're doing and are going to do what they can to, you know, kind of stop the bleeding, if you will. Can't let that happen. We have to move forward. We have to be free and open.
Another thing too is, at least it brings us to a seat at the table, so that when something is being proposed, and you know, you look at SOPA and PIPA, and it's definitely going to rear its ugly head again, you know, we at least need to have a seat at the table and having these discussions. While we don't want those discussions to happen, and I'm, you know, I'm afraid what that legislation brings upon us, they're going to push it again, and we're going to have at least have a seat at the table saying, hey, we're here, listen to us, let our, you know, take our inputs. And if need be, write those checks. And if we have to run candidates against these candidates that are, you know, introducing some of this ludicrous stuff. But, it is a big, big, big thing, Peter, you know, both you and Derek, you guys have, do you guys realize how much you bit off here on the potential on this? You know, just the Hawaii portion alone could end up being a full-time job for a number of people.
Yeah, it's huge, but it's something that needs to happen. You know, here's my joke, Todd. The National Innovation Alliance needs to be. Oh, we need to have at least as much respect, or at least as much protection as, oh, let's say whales. Do you think we could kind of shoot that for like a bar?
Well, we should just get the same type of protection that some of these groups that we hate have. You know, look at the protection the RIAA has, and look at the protection the MPAA has. As much as we hate those organizations, they have huge protection.
Massive.
Massive, you know? Massive. And I don't want to become one of those.
Well, yeah, I mean, the flip side of that coin is, look at how archaic and dinosauric they are.
Yeah.
And their Titanic ship doesn't turn on a dime. But, I mean, that's the thing that we have with tech, and I think we need to be careful. It's a slippery slope.
Absolutely.
And what keeps us amazing is our ability to innovate.
And, you know, if you look at, you know, not to dog our Chinese friends, you know, if you want to say that way, you know, they steal everything and they innovate very little. And, you know, we as a nation have been about innovation and doing cool stuff. You know, you just, And I'm amazed at the little business I've built and, you know, what I've done with a small team and been able to create. And if you have a desire and you have a vision, you can do anything these days. And the way I like to tell folks, especially folks that create content, you know, a $7.99, a website, install WordPress, put a couple plugins in, and you know, whatever you want to promote, you can promote, whether it be a show, whether it be a product, whether it be a service. And, you know, you can sell that, or you can, it's easy peasy, you know, it's not, it's no brain stuff to a certain extent. And, it just takes a little time and motivation, but, the government wants their hands in all facets of our lives. And I don't know if we're going to be able to keep them out, but at least this will help tide that to a certain extent. So I want to switch gears just a little bit and talk a little bit about the Hawaii startup. How's things, you know, I know, Peter, you've flipped a couple of companies in the past, and Derek, you're working on one now that I'm sure the goal is ultimately is to sell, flip, be acquired, whatever it is, you know, whatever entrepreneurs have a dream of, a steady paycheck, whatever it may be. Now, what's the startup scene looking like here in the state of Hawaii? I'll let Derek, I'll let you go ahead and start.
Oh, well, you heard it. It's crickets. No, I'm just kidding. a lot of things have happened just in the last year. It's come leaps and bounds, and we're really excited. There's a great blog, AlohaStartups.com. I recommend if anyone's interested in all of the community to read that. It's basically an aggregator. There's a lot of guest blogs. Bloggers, and they try to highlight a lot of what we're doing in Hawaii. I'm excited just because of what we're working on. Our startup is called Ohana Mala, and it's going to be a way to provide a socially conscious marketplace for producers of local, fresh local foods. And so basically, it's a way for people to be able to have access or more easily access what we have locally. Versus, you know, having to just trot to the grocery store. I think the distribution model is broken, but that's beside the point. Just in the last year, we've had co-working become a huge thing here in Hawaii. We've had two co-working spots. We've got some additional ones that are kind of in co-developing and co-arts. And that kind of thing. So to me, that all plays into the ecosystem. And so we're starting to get a lot of support. Starting to get a lot of recognition, which is important, you know, and that all comes, like Peter said, you know, as we start to grow up, we need to be more involved, and it's really exciting.
So, Peter, what's the angel VC market here looking like? Are there local investors now? Are we starting to see more dollars being put in by folks that are angels here?
Oh, look, let me tell you a real story. Let me tell you a true story of what occurs. I've been involved in the VC, the VC scene here and the angels for years. I've been on the board of the angels. I sit on an advisory board with the angels right now. I'm good friends with pretty much all the VCs in town. I know them all on a first name basis. Years ago, with all the right intentions, the Hawaii tech industry advocated a law on the books, which was called Act 221, which gave a fantastic tax credit to tech investors. It was designed with all the good intentions. It was designed to give investors 100% of their money back through tax credits if they invested in a high tech business. Billions of dollars were invested, with a B. Billions were invested. The startup scene just exploded overnight. We were jamming. We were going crazy. Everyone thought it was absolutely fantastic. That was the good news. The bad news was this: the way the legislation was written, and I was an investor in 221 companies. I had a 221 company. I was involved with helping craft the legislation, so I was involved in every step of the way. Well, what occurred was this. The legislation was so, the way it was written, long story short, is it didn't really incentivize the creation of high-tech companies. It really incentivized the creation of tax shelters. Huh. And so what you had happen was you had all these tech companies, and just about all of them were legitimate. All of them tried. But the way it was structured, long story short, it was more structured towards giving the investors their money back. Well, what happened was 221 eventually expired. 10 years later, the bill expired. In fact, expired a little bit early. And what happened as the result, because these industries, these tech industries were warped in the way they were created, because they were warped to provide tax credits as opposed to really creating innovation and value, the tax credit was their purpose. What occurred was this. When it was all said and done, when the law ended, because the legislature didn't want to reenact it because it cost them billions, the investors did well because they got their return on investment. The state did well because the state got tax revenue and things like that, growth. The tech industry was decimated. It was decimated because all the money went away. The investors all went away and the business wasn't formed on solid ground. So there were no customers. And as a result, tech industry lost and it lost big time. So that is a great example of how the best intentions with great support through government action and government regulation had disastrous results, disastrous results. And Derek could attest to that because he was here. He saw it came. Derek, you saw it come and you saw it go. Am I right?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, you know, and that's a big problem with Hawaii is that as a serial entrepreneur, as working in a number of startups and with other people that are, you know, we need people. We need young people that are intelligent and that have great ideas. And what happens is students graduate from high school. They go to the mainland, they go to a great college, they meet a lot of other like-minded people, and they never come home. And so, you know, knowledge leaves Hawaii. Knowledge is one of our exports, pineapple, sugar, and knowledge. And so, it's that's what we're trying to change. So it's up to the battle.
So, Peter, if a fellow wanted to raise $2 or $3 million today, it would be very tough.
Be very, very tough. I mean, the investment, you know, the strange part is the investment community here. What we have now, the big problem that we have here now in Hawaii is we have a lack of deal flow. I sit in these meetings with the venture capitalist guys and like, you know what, there's very, very few deals that are coming on the table. There's very little innovation that's occurring. And that's because of a lot to say of what Derek has said, which is a lot of the guys are leaving. I mean, you have a good education here. You can't really find a good job in tech. And meanwhile, there's tons of jobs, Google's hiring, and you know, there's all kinds of things going on the West Coast. And so you leave. So we have a deal flow problem. You know, there's another thing too. It's sad, but it's funny and it's true. Hawaii's investment climate, because Hawaii is very government heavy. We're the most heavily, we have the highest percentage of government employees than any other state in the nation. We have the highest tax, we have the highest income tax rate, we have the highest sales tax, with the sales tax revenue. It's awful. But here's the funny part is there's true story, true conversation. One of my friends, an investment banker, was telling me about a conversation he had with a credit rating agency on the mainland. And the conversation went something like this. He asked the credit rating agency, he says, hey, you know, how do you guys rate Hawaii? And the credit rating agency says, well, you know, we have a certain rating for the risk posed by the governments in each state, because we have to, you know, how are we going to rate bonds, how we're going to rate government investments and infrastructure, things like that. And he goes, well, how do you rate Hawaii? Well, Hawaii on the government risk scale, you guys are better than Somalia, but you're worse than Mexico.
Wow.
And he says, what do you mean by that? Because, well, you know, see, in Mexico, if you need to get something done, you need to go, you know what bureaucrats you have to go to, and you know what favors you have to kind of work to get your job done. And if you do that in Mexico, it'll get done.
Right.
But in Hawaii, if you go to those bureaucrats and you kind of do what they tell you to do, there's no guarantee you're going to get what you want.
It's everybody's job but that person's.
But you're better than Somalia, where Somalia, you can get killed if you try to do the wrong thing. So you guys are better than Somalia, but you're worse than Mexico. It's a true conversation. It's funny. It's hilarious. It's a true conversation.
Oh, that's funny.
So you say,
though, that part of the problem is deal flow. In other words, not enough deals are coming across the desk. So if there was a good deal that came across the desk, there would be potential, right?
Yes. If there, one thing's for sure, if there was a good deal, you would definitely get an audience. That would not be difficult at all. So getting in front of that is that's not a problem. you would definitely get in. You would definitely get in front if you had a good idea, if you had a good thing to show. Absolutely.
Interesting. Well, there is hope then, as I've got about this much paper on a concept of something. Oh, funny. You know, it's Hawaii is an interesting market because I tell people that are not from here, oftentimes it is it's summed up in this. When you go out socially, you get asked what high school you went to, not what college you went to. And Derek, you probably have had that question asked you times, and you know, so people, the local connection here is extraordinarily important, and you almost have to be kind of like vouch for. I think that's kind of the way I put it, and maybe not that extreme, but it definitely is a very much a local connection. I think it's much different in, you know, you go someplace like California or someplace, it's, you know, connections are important, but they don't necessarily look at your high school pedigree as part of a decision on whether or not you're going to be, you know, brought into the in crowd. Do you see that, Peter, you've been here your whole life, haven't you?
30 years now. 30 years.
So, you know.
Well, yeah, it's kind of funny you bring up the high school thing. Actually, that is the, Hawaii is interesting in that sense, and that is there's a term here that's called, you know, are you local?
Right.
And what's the definition of what local means? And actually the definition of local means, did you go to high school here? And if you went to high school here, you're local.
Right.
If you didn't go to high school here, you're not local. And it doesn't matter how many years, look, I've been here for 30 years now.
Right.
You know, I speak a little bit of Hawaiian. My daughter dances hula. I married a Polynesian. I know the culture in and out, but I'm not local.
Right.
I am what's called a kama, which is someone who has adjusted to the local culture and the local values.
Right.
But I'm not local.
Yeah.
The only reason why I'm not local, I moved here when I was 21. Had I moved here when I was 17, 4 years earlier, and gone to a high school, I'd be local. But that's just one of the things that makes Hawaii great is the local style.
You know,
high schools are important.
I laughed one time because someone asked me, "Oh, Todd, you must have went to Punahou." I'm like, "No, I did not go to Punahou. I grew up in Michigan and went to a little school called Quincy. 96 was the graduating class size, and then you know you kind of get that look. You know, they kind of You know, but, you know, God forbid someone say that they were a Punahou graduate that weren't. You would be like blacklisted in the state.
Oh, there's no greater lie. So like my joke when people say, oh, wait, hey, what high school you went? I said, oh, homeschooled. Like, I just told them I'm homeschooled.
That's a good one. That's a good response.
Homeschool. Yeah.
Oh, funny. Well, so Derek, what else in the Hawaii startup scene are you, you know, do you guys, and you guys say you're working in, I know that at one time UH had some sort of a tech innovation center. Is that still happening or what's going on now with this group working stuff that you guys are doing?
Yeah, they still have the, I can't remember which acronym it is anymore or what organization, but you know, it still exists. And this kind of brings it back around to the Hawaii Innovation Alliance and why I feel that tech needs to organize so much and why I'm such a huge proponent for it is that at the state level, they start making laws and they look at, you know, what's good for legislation, blah, 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 you know, and the people get in there in the lobby and whatnot. And high technology ends up being defined as robotics, alternative energy, which of course important, you know, R&D for agribusiness, and things that, you know, it takes tens of years to get anything going. And meanwhile, the real technology, the stuff that we can make a huge difference, which we can create jobs and tax revenues quickly with, get left out of those, you know, programs and those bills. So, and I see it too a lot from, you know, we mentioned the angels and whatnot, and there are a number of investment groups that work together. And, you know, one of the things that happens is we'll go and start talking, you know, someone will come speak about, you know, this is what we'd like to see from a company, or this is what we want, you know, we want equity from a company that's going to go, you know, start up so that we can, you know, use that little chunk of equity to give back to the community when they go public, you know, and all these good things they want from businesses, but it's all at the level of the business running, right? It's a post funding. There's right. nothing happening for people down here at the idea level. And so that's one of the biggest things that we're trying to change. By getting a lot of the different community groups to work together is, you know, hobbyists are way out on the side. You got your arms, you know, 3 feet apart, and those represent the hobbyists. And you get a little bit closer in, and then you've got the entrepreneurs, you know, and it takes hobbyists to make entrepreneurs, and then the entrepreneurs make startups. So right. there's too many people that are focused here on the startup, but realize that there's a whole corollary in the ecosystem that we need to really be working on.
You know, I laugh too, because when I started Raw Voice in 2005, we went to the mainland and basically did the full gamut of meetings in the valley, and every place I went, I was told I was too old and that we would not survive and our business model would not work. And what's funny is here we are, literally 7 years later, and we're still in business. We're profitable. We've got employees on the payroll, and all my competition that took money is gone. You know, they're out of business, and it's very ironic. So there is there is two sides to everything too. Is there is the risk that when you are taking money, the investor gets their hooks too far into you, and destroy the proposition that you're bringing to the business, and they try to guide you, but at the same point it may go against exactly what you're doing. So there's good things about taking money, and there's bad things about taking money. And sometimes you have to go get the cash, because you just can't do what you need to do without it. But yeah, so I always laugh. The guy that basically sold me the most, when every year I send him a little Christmas card, and I said, I'm still here, still in business. Not in, it's kind of a in your face type of thing, but it was, you know, it really insulted me. The guy told me I was too old to do a startup. So if there's anyone out there that is considering starting a business, you can do that in your 40s. It's good. You've got experience. You've got some weathering, and you just need young guys like, Derek, they're willing to put in 20 hours a day and write code without sleep. I can't work 20 hours a day anymore. I can work 16 or 18, but not 20. Well, guys, I'm going to wrap this up here. We're at about an hour and 20, which is about normal for this show. For those of you that have been watching, definitely check out NOW, the newly launched National Innovation Alliance. It's on Facebook. You'll be able to just search for that. You'll find it real easy. And those of you that are here, Hawaii Central, check out Hawaii Innovation Alliance, and definitely join and become active in the group. And if you know business people here in Hawaii that have even a tech inkling at all, we want them to be part of the organization. 540 people, that's pretty quick. You guys have grown fast here.
It is on fire. I mean, and we launched it about a week ago. And so, and this is, I think, this speaks to two things. I think this speaks to not only the power of the idea, but it speaks to the power of Facebook. I mean, a Facebook group, different from a Facebook page, Facebook groups are interesting. Look, Todd, we're up to 60 members already on the National Innovation Alliance.
Wow.
Just in the course of the show. So it's a phenomenon. The ability, just to geek out here for a minute, because groups allow people to, Facebook groups allow people to invite their friends. You don't have to like it. You could just invite your friends and add them to the group. These things very, very quickly get geometric and allow, explosive growth. And I think when you combine it with broadcast media like your show, for example, we're going to, you know, when the show's over, we're going to put this, we're going to link it to the National Innovation Alliance page. People can listen in on the conversation. They can kind of get the background, vice versa. I'm assuming you're going to have a link off of your show notes onto the page.
Right.
These things really, really start snowballing. And, I've been doing nothing but interviews the past week, and I'm going to do a bunch next week as well. We're having the Unconference on Saturday, the 25th. So it's a bit, you know, we had a live streaming event when we did. We had a show on Wednesday. We launched the page on Tuesday. We were on the air on Wednesday. We had a call to action to have a meeting on Wednesday night. The meeting showed up. It was live streamed. We have these great, fantastic, you know, we're live streaming right now. We have these great, fantastic tools. So everything we have is here. We just got to get up. We got to get organized. We have to grow up, and we have to realize the world we're living in, and we have to fight hard to protect the freedom and the liberty of our industry and its innovation and all the wonderful things it's created. And if we don't do that, it is going to go away. And it's hard to believe that. It's incomprehensible. But you cannot show me a single instance of an industry that started out regulating, you know, that began to get regulated 50 years ago and today is not heavily regulated and essentially all but destroyed. You can't show me an example of that. And that's scary. We need to know that.
It's true. And one thing we can do too is, you know, because we're techie, we can use these great tech tools. You know, I'm thinking that you guys, you know, probably should have a monthly thing or a bi-monthly thing where you guys are maybe do a Google Hangout, do a live stream. You know, that's a perfect way to bring in 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 luminaries. You stream that and you can have a great conversation. And if people are stuck at home and they can't get out or they've just gotten back from the office, you know, you can watch it time shifted. Just like this show, I'll get this produced, it'll be up later today and it's going to be distributed on, you know, 160 different devices, Google TV, it'll be on Roku, it'll be in Boxy. So, you know, lots of techie guys will get a chance to review this and that'll drive numbers too to the website and people joining and hopefully getting involved and not going to sleep after we defeat something like SOPA. And like you said, Peter, it's about staying active consistently and not just when we have to do this, you know, fire alarm call and tell everybody to, you know, come put a fire out. And then instead of putting the fire out and going back to sleep, we stay there and, you know, tend the hoses. And that's what really the National Innovation Alliance is going to do is we're going to be able to keep the hoses tended and be there to put out fires instantly and be proactive.
Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly what we have to do. It's time for us to get the ball rolling. You know, I wish I would have kind of thought about this earlier when SOPA and PIPA was all the rage because we could have used a little bit of a link love from Google. But look, it is what it is. You know, let's get the show on the road and protect what we all hold so dear. And, you know, geeks around. I mean, it's funny you mentioned Google Hangout. We had actually our first board meeting was a Google Hangout. It was
smart.
Great.
Yeah.
So all these tools are available to us and we have live streaming through shows like yours. And it's, as you know, it's not, you can set up a simple version of a live stream relatively and so that's, we're up and running and we're going to make it happen.
Outstanding. Well, for those who've been watching, you definitely want to come over to my website on basically a daily basis. We got writers putting up new content. Believe it or not, we're still feeding content that we shot at CES. We had 287 interviews. Wow. We're still feeding stuff in from CES. I think we're on the downswing. I think we have about 50 left. And then the writers will be back into doing regular daily content. But there's just a plethora of data there. Of course, you can check out my show. I do it live. And those of you that are watching in Hawaii, if you're bored on Monday and Thursdays at about 8 p.m. Hawaiian Standard Time, you can actually join me at live.geeknewscentral.com for my twice weekly tech show where we cover everything in the tech space, science, anything going on in the national scene. And of course, Saturday Morning Tech is held here at 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 noon Eastern every Saturday morning that I'm in Hawaii. When I'm on travel, I don't do the show. And we have tech luminaries in talking about what's happened this prior week in tech. Of course, we got the Gadget Professor that talks about gadgets every week on Thursday. Robot Underpants is kind of my underground show at GNC. And it's Langley. He's in San Francisco. So he kind of sees what's going on in the scene there. He usually does a hangout with some folks that are on the West Coast. They have a lot of fun with that. But definitely check out all the shows at geeknewscentral.com. Of course, check out our family of shows at the Tech Podcast Network at techpodcast.com. Peter, I want to thank you. And, you know, they can find you at a variety of places. But, you know, obviously the big one is here, at least for the local folks. We all know you, of course, as the as Your Computer Minute at yourcomputerminute.com.
And Peter K. Hawaii. If you search, if you Google for Peter K. Hawaii, I'll come up in spades. There's a Peter K. There's a comedian in the UK who's Peter K., but that's not me. I'm Peter K. Hawaii, not Peter K. in the UK.
And of course, Derek. Now, Derek, you've said your company name a couple of times. What is the actual... You're going to have to go slow because I'm going to type this in. What is your startup's website at?
Ohana Mala. It's Ohana, MALA.com. And right now, we just got a landing page. We're in private beta. But
MALA. Okay. There we go.
Meaning garden. So family garden.
Ah, very, very cool. So, yeah, it's on a kickoff site. Oh, I see it.
Yes, yes.
All right, cool. So we'll be seeing stuff coming out from that. When do you guys expect you're going to come out of
We're aiming for the first of next month.
Oh,
so
exciting.
The team's working hard.
Well, it's nothing like writing code until you drop, you know.
Yes. In fact, I was doing that last night. So I was like rubbing my eyes, like, I gotta get on the webinar.
Thank God I'm not a code writer. I'm just I like to talk. All right, guys. And everyone that's been watching, thanks for hanging out with us. And Peter, thanks for this enlightening hour and 20. Yes. And you guys have a great day. And to all the Ohana out there that are listening to the show, well, thank you. Take care. And aloha.